Perhaps you'd like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll pray. Our Father in God, thank you for thy word, thy work, your day. Your day all the way. In the light of all the days that have gone by. In the light of that which lies ahead. Here we are. To be able to have the benefit, to be able to have the rest, in order to fight the good fight of faith, in order to go forward with a measure of success, looking to you, being refreshed, reminded, energized, encouraged with understanding. Spirit of God, help us to understand. And our God will thank you very much in Christ's name. Amen. This morning we try to make it very clear. Hold your finger here. Well, you don't have to, you know all this. Remember we shared together that when 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, when a person comes to know the Lord as their Savior, they are made a new creature. They have a brand new relationship to God. Old things are all gone and everything becomes new. When does that happen? The moment you receive Christ as your Savior. The old stopped and the new started. Nothing to do with your feeling, your fears, or anything else. That's what happens when you get saved. Now, when we had our potatoes, and those that missed the potatoes, I can't go back and explain all the potatoes. But think of the plastic bag as you, and it's full of potatoes. And everything in and about your life is a potato, as it were. School, work, home, everything you think, everything you say, everything you do is your old nature. And that's what you do. And you do that as a way of life. The trouble is, it's missing God, and therefore, we are called, all humans are spiritually dead. That means they have plenty of physical, earthly life, but they have no relationship to God. They are spiritually dead. They need life. So when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and receive Him, God gives us a wonderful, wonderful life. Now, so we are this, and God crucified this. He crucified it, and we are to consider, reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin. And when we receive the Lord, and God is going to go and provide us, because of His death, taking His death, which is our death, God is able to go and do something with these potatoes, this life that is contaminated. God will not take this life. He cannot take this life. It's impossible. Can't do it. So when a person gets saved, what does it mean to be saved? And so we share together. When a person receives the Lord as their Savior, they have a relationship. And the relationship is in Christ. God in Christ. He does that. And in the process of that, hold your finger here in 1 Corinthians 15, and go over with me to Galatians for a moment. And God is going to remind us in Galatians, and I'm going to give you Paul's personal testimony. And here in Galatians chapter 1, as you would know, I'm going directly verse 16. 1 and 16. God, what did you do to Paul on the Damascus Road in Acts chapter 9? Paul received Christ as his Savior. And therefore, he says it, verse 16, what did God do? To reveal his Son in me. Just get that part. That's what he did. I received the Lord as my Savior, said Paul. I received him. And he revealed the Christ in me. Now, how was that understood by the believers in the New Testament? How was it understood by the Apostle Paul who got saved? Verse 23. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us, that's Paul, in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. In other words, Paul was going up and down the land in Acts chapter 9, hunting down and killing Christians. But he doesn't do that anymore. And, verse 24, and instead of seeing Paul as an enemy, they glorified God in me, said Paul. So that's pretty simple. How was God revealed his Son? And when Paul understood that, the Lord Jesus Christ is none other than God. So when he received Christ as his Savior, he received God. Here we are, God. Now, that is going to translate into a whole, his newness is going to translate in a wonderful way. It's going to be outworked. We're going to look at that. Over to chapter 2. Paul is going to tell you how it works out. We share together newness now. So you can't, the minute you get saved, you're a new creature in Christ. Boom. Don't even talk anymore. If you're saved, that's it. And you sit and absorb that. Boom, you're saved. Now new. Tonight. Now new. What happens when you're new? You're now new. How does that work? God is going to do something wonderful in you. Hang on. Wonderful in you. And therefore, how does it come out, Paul? Verse 20. 2 and 20. I am crucified with Christ. Remember, Christ died, took our sin in his own body on the tree. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I am still living in this physical body. Yet not I, no more, old me. Nope, I'm still there, but potatoes are still there. But I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I, N-O-W, am now living, the life which I am now living in the flesh, I live by faith in the faithfulness of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now the life I'm now living it. The newness I had the moment I got saved. And that newness that I had the moment I got saved is now working itself out. That's what I want you to see. Now, back over to 1 Corinthians 15. So when a person's saved, what are you saying? That you have received, a person saved when they receive Christ as their Savior. And that's why they're saved. It's nothing to do with anything about them. It's everything that they have received in the person of Christ, God in the flesh. That's what they received. Now, having said that, now God, what's the purpose of being saved? What's the purpose of being saved? And we have all kinds of answers. Oh, I'm going to go to heaven and I'll see Johnny Jones. Really? Yep. And I'm going to go to heaven and not to hell. And that's wonderful. What do people know? What do people really understand? Why are you saved? And what is God doing? The newness doesn't go away, and we're supposed to be new creatures and practice it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that we're new creatures, we're children, we're sons of God. Now, God, help me. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So the potatoes can't go anywhere. The potatoes have to stay. That's you, your old nature. That's you. So how do you know you? Go look in the mirror. Go look in the mirror. And who do you think you will see? Who are you going to see in the mirror? You. That's you. And you've grown up to be whatever age, whatever conditions, you've aged. And as you keep growing, it's you. And you don't have to look at a picture when you were 10 years old, because you aren't 10 years old anymore, most of you. You aren't 10, and you see yourself, and you see yourself. That's you. That's how you see you. Potatoes. Every day. Even if you aren't looking in the mirror, you know you. You know you, because that's right. Now, flesh and blood, that's you, cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. The old you that you see isn't going to go anywhere except into the grave. That's all it's going to do. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. It cannot do it. Hang on. In fact, God, what did you have in mind when you saved us? Verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery, that we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, transformed. In a moment, in the twinkling, splitting of an atom, how fast an atom can be split. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. So what's going to happen? All the potatoes are going to stay. Nothing that you see in a mirror, that you can have an exploratory operation and go to your brain down to your toes, that all stays. All stays. God has done something wonderful. He's gone and made it possible. Made it possible for you to be changed like him. This is your life. We did all of this morning. Christ, who is your life, period. This is what's new in you. And this is what God sees. And this is what God is working on. And God has placed himself in your heart to transform you, changed. That's what's going to happen when we go up. We're going to be like him. That's what it's going to be. So there's no sense in dreaming about anything else. That is the major event. You're going to be like him, like his son in Christ. You understand? That's what's going to happen. Now, in the meanwhile, we're down here. Now, God, this is where our life is. It's all new. And whatever's going to happen, in the twinkling of an eye, God is going to change us and move us from here to there. And in that transition, all the potatoes are left. And God places us in his son in a way that we're going, like we read this morning in Philippians, we're going to be like him, a body like unto his, literally a physical resurrected body, like unto his. That's what it's going to be. So that's what heaven's about. That's what going to heaven's about. Now hang on to that. Now, over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians in chapter 3. You want to have, hopefully, a clearer, simpler understanding of what it means to be saved. Otherwise, that's why people aren't convicted of sin. That's why you want to help people. You aren't going to help them with the traditional Protestantism, Catholicism, Islam, whatever you want. You can't do it. I'm a Christian, and I know this and that, and I go to church, and like someone said the other day, they're full of hypocrites. That's right, they're full of hypocrites. They're all hypocrites. They're saved hypocrites. Aren't you? Aren't you all saved hypocrites? Sure you are. God saves us in a most wonderful way. We kidded ourselves. We were pretty good until we realized we weren't so good. We were dead in sins, and we needed to get saved. And God did it in a wonderful way. And that's what it's about, God. It isn't about you doing whatever. You need to have God in your heart working. You're going to be changed. There's no question. If the Lord were to take us now and take us up, and we'd stop in the clouds, if you could imagine this, we're going to stop in the clouds, get a new body, wonderful working, and then God's going to drop you back down to your house so people can see what you've been trying to tell them for all your believing life. You've been trying to tell them you're a new creature in Christ. And lo and behold, coming back down, they see you. Now they can't get out of that one, can they? Because you're one dynamic, wonderful illustration. But God doesn't do that. So we have to be in this potato body evidencing this. I'm telling you that why aren't they convicted? We mentioned the other day, John the Baptist. Remember John the Baptist said he tried to go and he had wonderful toleration. Remember John the Baptist? He had wonderful toleration with everybody. He loved everybody. He wouldn't say anything bad about anybody. Remember that? No, you don't remember that. Because he said, you lousy hypocrites, full of dead men's bones. That's what he said. And that's why they get saved, repented. And we're making it so that everyone can just sail along. And so you don't believe that good much. And you don't believe that good, so why do I need to believe it? You don't practice it. You don't show it. Why do I need to? And that's the one thing we need to do. You don't need to figure out how to help people. You need to change and be new. And you can't miss it. They all have potatoes. They're just like us. But they don't have gold. They don't have Christ. They don't have life. They don't have the future. You have a magnificent tomorrow coming up. Now, hang on. Don't go away. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. May I go directly to verse 18. Chapter 3 and verse 18. You know what. I'll read verse 17, context. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Behold, verse 18, but we all, with open face, beholding, nothing covering our face, no face mask, please, no face mask, open face. We all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed. There's a little word, transformed. Are changed into the same image we're looking at, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God's doing something. So what we're looking in the mirror, we see ourselves. That's our old self. There's no question. When I look in God's Word, I find myself as God sees me as new. God sees the old all gone. God sees me as forgiven. God sees me having a unique, awesome relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's how he sees me. So now, here I am in the potato bag, because that's me, full of all the potatoes, full of everything I do is flesh. But, I'm looking and understand. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. That's this part. We're so frail. Now, that's this part. And that's what they need to see. The life I now live in the flesh. Now, Paul, what are you saying? I'm being changed. Because I'm not trying to trust and be another potato. I don't need more potatoes. I don't need to exercise the potatoes, my old nature. I need to exercise my unique relationship to God. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, and I want to exercise it. That's gold. Hang on. I'm changed, being changed in a most, most wonderful way. Now God, here we are looking at all of that, and thus we're changed. Now God, having said that, being changed and understanding that in the process, so what's the object, God? The object is, you're going to go to heaven and you're going to be like this, like my son. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make you just like my son. So when I see my son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his magnificent headship, he's going to see his body of the same kind, gold. Gold. That's what he's going to see. He's going to see gold. Now we see it, we touched it on this morning. You don't have to turn there for time's sake. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 15, verse 12, 13, 14, 15. We're on a foundation, and we're resting on the foundation. And in the process of God, we're looking to you. Here's the foundation, if I can. Here's God's word. And we're resting on the foundation. We're resting on it. And as we rest on the foundation, we're looking at it. As we look at it, I'm not looking in the mirror to see myself. I'm looking in the mirror to see me in Christ. And all of these truths keep coming and telling me the same thing over and over in all kinds of different ways. So I'm getting it. I'm being changed. That's right. It's affecting me. It changes my thought life. It changes everything in my life as I do it. But if I don't do it, nothing's going to happen. So I need to understand that's what happened. And God, what are you doing? I'm going, and as you read, I'm changing your life. I'm changing your life. That's what people will see. They won't see it in 5 minutes necessarily, but you can't be around them very long that you know if they're saved. You'll know they're saved. Something's different about them. Now, in the light of that, in the light of the great objective, so in the light of the golden apple, let us just go back into history. And go back with me, please, over to the book of Job, chapter 1. The book of Job and chapter 1. And in the book of Job, chapter 1, you will notice a wonderful, wonderful... Job lived back in the days of Abraham, back when then. Now God, Job, what about Job? Starting with, you remember it, Job chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. This man was perfect, complete, and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. He shunned evil. He avoided evil. That's what he did. And God said, I want you to see my man down there. Now here's his man. And the devil devil doesn't want that at all. So the whole first chapter, etc., the devil's going to go and get permission to go clobber Job. He's going to clobber him and clobber him. And then, chapter 2, he's going to clobber his health. So he clobbers his family, his sons, and his family, his servants, his riches, his animals, thousands. All at once. No one has that happen to him. Now, God, you let that happen to him. Yeah, I did. Said. Now, Job, Job didn't understand quite why, but he was good. He never backed off, never backed down, never backed away, never quit. He kept looking to God to see what God was after. And God had something wonderful in mind. The devil doesn't understand it. The devil hates it. But God is going for it. God is going for the gold. That's what he's going for. He's going for his glory. That's what he's going to do. Therefore, as you would note, Job 23. And in Job 23, Job was going to tell us, as you know, and not doing it all, but just get a little of it in the sight light of it. Job and chapter 23, picking up in verse 9. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take and what's happening to me. When he hath tried, put me to the proof, putting metal in a fire to get the dross away from the gold, to make it pure gold, to get it to be solid gold. Uh-huh. He knows the way that I take. And when he hath tried and put me in that furnace, then tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Now, God, that's right. You're looking for gold. Remember what we shared this morning in Revelation 3 and 17. The Lord said to the miserable Laodicean church age in which we live, you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You're done. But I counsel thee to buy gold, verse 17, to buy gold tried in the fire from me. Buy gold from me. I want you to buy it. Now, what's that mean? How am I going to buy gold from God? What do I have to buy? Ah, God saved us. And God saved us. And God gave us a wonderful newness of life. And we're to exercise that newness of life in a relationship so that we can buy. The word buy means to go to the marketplace where everyone's buying and selling, coming and going, and you go to the marketplace and you go and out work things out. Now, to see that, worth doing it, over, if you would, to Ephesians. And in Ephesians, picking up, please, chapter 5. And you're going to see it, Ephesians. And in chapter 5, may I pick up 5 and 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, most accurately, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming. Do you see the word redeeming? That's the word to buy in Revelation 3 and 17. Redeeming. Go to the marketplace and buy. Verse 16. Redeeming. Buy. By redeeming the time, buy up the time you're on planet Earth, because the days are evil. And that was back then. And if you thought they were evil back there, boy, is it a different game now. Not like anything we ever knew. Now, hang on to that. Now, and one other place, you have to turn there, but to put it in context, what's coming up? The Antichrist, tribulation, what is going to be characteristic of the tribulation? in the middle of the tribulation, what's going to happen? Revelation 13. The false prophet in Jerusalem and all with the Antichrist and all that, what's going to happen? He's going to make it so that people on earth can neither buy nor sell. There's your word. They can't buy or sell without the name, the nature, and the mark of the beast. That's what's coming up. Wow. And it's really, with the electronic world and everything, it's a really coming very, 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 very fast, exponentially fast, what it's going to come. So now, save your dollars, because they'll be unique. You know. Wow. Now, in the light of that, God, that's what you want. That's right. I want you to look at the Word of God, and that's what we're doing. Let the Word of God keep getting to the head and heart to understand what he said, not what I think he said, not what I want him to say. What are you saying? So, God, here we are looking, and so, over, if you would please, picking up the thought, over in Philippians, right next door, and we're repeating over and over, but over and over, eventually, the light comes on, boom, comes together. So here's Philippians. God, what did you say to the Philippian believers, to us? You know, in verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he, God, which hath begun a good work where in you, remember, here we are, here's the potatoes, but here's God. And he that hath begun a good work in you, that's Christ in you, you knew. He don't care about the potatoes. It's all passed away. I don't want any potatoes. That's why I said this morning. I'll say it again. God never goes and will ask you, please tell me the background of your circumstances and your crisis and why you are so bad or why you need to be saved. God just says, confess your sin. I don't want to hear anything because I already condemned every potato you ever use. I already condemned it on the cross. So I just want you to practice it. Confess your sin. Walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ will what? Cleanse you from all sin. I just want you to practice being new. I don't want you to bring up the old. The flesh shall not glory in my presence. So don't try to give me a long, lengthy sermon or something about flesh and people and sin. No, that's what Christ terminated. And we need to practice what God said. And it isn't based on your feeling or your fears, etc. You're based on your God. You're honoring what God has done. It cost him his son on Calvary's cross. Now, so he hath begun a good work. And you know then, you would then understand, going as you would, but then keep putting it together in your life. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Wherein, beloved, my beloved, whereas we're here, wheretofore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, Paul was in prison, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It doesn't say work out your job, work out your health. It doesn't say do that. Work out being saved. Work out being new. Work out changing, being changed from one degree to another. As you're looking in God's word and you see yourself the old potato in the mirror, but then I look in God's word and God sees me different. And that's what I'm going to look. I'm to trust God so that God is going to be changing my life by trial, going from one thing to another. Each thing I learn, trial, test, trouble, like James would say, count it all joy when you what? Fall into all temptations. Count it all joy. He didn't tell you to classify it. He said, do you understand? All of it is helping you what? It's to stop trusting the potatoes and be trusting God. And God will do a wonderful thing in your life. And that's what you need to have happen. That has to happen in your life so you start enjoying things and exercising the wonderful privileges of being saved. not trying to be unsaved and not trying to relate to everybody, because you aren't everybody anymore. You belong to God if you're saved. And you need to be saved and enjoy being saved. That's what people need to see. And if they don't see that, I don't see any reason to be a Christian, because there's no evidence. It doesn't do any good going to church, sitting in church, doing good. You know, sing, guitar, whatever you want. No. So, work out your own salvation. And you know, verse 13, the reason you're going to work it out, the reason you're even going to do this is because for God, for it is God, which is working in you. He is doing a good work in you, 1:6. He's working in you. And in verse 13, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So God is, as you're looking for God's will for your life, and you stumble through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, early morning, late night, whatever, school, work, home, whatever, you're doing easy things, hard things, but many things, doesn't make any difference. You do all of those things in an awesome way. And in doing those things, what are you doing? You're learning to trust God and look to God, and that's what you're learning to do. And as you do those things, God is busy working. And you do the normal things, the ordinary things of life, and you do them in an extraordinary way. God's way. Whatever you eat or drink, do it all to the glory of God. You're looking, God does wonderful things. And that's what you're looking for. You aren't looking to see, the germs are coming, diseases are everywhere. They're everywhere. They're all in your body anyway, in one form or another. So God, wow, we're looking to you. Because it isn't my life anymore, it's his. And his life has to be unworked. And I don't see him. I just can't understand God in me being concerned about other people's potatoes. I just don't see that. I think God is wants to do a wonderful work in the believing heart, and any opposition to that, God is going to stay on target, and the believing heart needs to keep trusting God. That doesn't mean you don't care or you aren't thoughtful about people. You want to be a testimony, and there's no question. But in doing so, you don't want to disregard and make God look stupid, like nothing. So when the whole occasion was done, where was God in it? God was missing. They didn't see God. They didn't find God in the crisis, whatever it is. So why? What's the difference? There is no difference. So God, there needs to be a difference, a wonderful difference. And therefore, as you go and do what you do, over to 1 Peter and chapter 1. And we were there on Wednesday as such. Maybe. 1 Peter and chapter 1. Picking up, please. And you know that, remember God said that, Job said, I'm going to come forth as gold. Now it's Job. Now we're way ahead of Job. There's no question to that. So Job understood it, and he did. God was doing a wonderful thing in Job's life. Wow. So here's 1 Peter chapter 1. And what do we know, Peter? What do we understand? In verse 5, we are kept by the power of God through faith, the body of truth to be trusted in, the faith, believing truth, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now, for a season, right now, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold, many kinds, sizes, types, kinds of temptation, putting to the proof, putting on trial. That's right. And the purpose, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Now, God, what do you ask her? You want after. Now, this is a golden apple. It isn't really gold. You know that. so don't steal it on me. This isn't really gold. It would be worth a couple of bucks, wouldn't it? If this was gold? I'm going to leave it as my inheritance. Now, here we are. God, you aren't trying to make me like this golden apple. No. I'm trying to make you like my son. That's what I'm doing. Buy of me and let me do a work in your heart that you might come forth as gold. And the trial of your faith. That's right. You've got to go through the exercise, the gymnastics, the up and down, the easy, the hard, the mask, no mask, and high, low, sickness, disease, death. All of that exists. All of it, though, in God's will for your life. And God's will for your life intends to be fulfilled. If that's what you want, and that's what you're going for, I'm going for the gold. I'm going for the gold. That's what I'm going to get, and so are you, as you're going for the gold. And nothing's going to stop anything that God doesn't want in your life or my life or any life to have him make it all work. It has to work. And the devil, the world system, the flesh, all the potatoes in my life cannot stop God's will in that for that apple, for that God's will in my life to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. That's what God wants. And that's why all the trials are there, to get me to not be trusting more potatoes, trusting God. So the trying of your faith produces what? A wonderful, wonderful, wonderful production. Verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, always with fire. And remember, we did that on Wednesday, God's awesome fire. That's why Moses could survive, Meshach and Abednego, that's why they can survive. God, that's why you can survive. How do we stand God's consuming fire? You don't. But in Christ Jesus, you're fireproof, unburnable. You're safe as can be in the mountain of fire. You're safe as can be. That's awesome, I think. So now, am I going to worry about something? No, I don't need to worry about anything. I don't. But. No, I don't. No buts. Either I'm going to trust God or I'm not. Either that apple is real or it isn't. Either Christ in me is he who he is or isn't he? And if he is, I need to trust him. And when you're saying that, hang on, let me bug you a little bit. Over to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. You know what Paul says to the Corinthians after he does all of his wonderful help to them. In first and second Corinthians, he comes and the final thing he says to the Corinthians, what's he going to say to them? Well, 2 Corinthians, and chapter 13, picking up in verse 5. Verse 3, since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you would is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he be crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall all live with him by the power of God to a Jew. Verse 5, examine yourself, put yourself on trial. Whether you be in the faith, the body of truth to be believed, prove your own selves. Put yourself to a test. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be a reprobate metal that doesn't pass the test. See if you're really real. Good. Are you really real? That's what God wants. Are you real? That's what saved. And when you do that, people don't like that. I know they don't like that. Because they don't want to have to be real like that. Because then I have to understand I'm new. And God now is going to go do new some. God is going to do in me now the new things to produce and make my life like his gold. And as I do that, God's going to keep working and working and working, and I'm going to come forth as gold. That's not what he wants. So when the Bema seed of Christ comes, 1 Corinthians 13, I'm going to be able to have what? And you're going to be able to have, if God help us, what? Gold, silver, and precious stones to stand the fire test. We'll be saved as by fire, and we'll be rewarded by fire. God said everything that is going to burn up, all the potatoes in your life that you tried to have are wonderful for here and now, but they aren't going to do you a bit of good in the future. And you need to be saved. So I want you to practice and enjoy being saved and being changed in the twinkling of an eye. And as you enjoy being changed, all the people around you and about you at work, at home, at school, whatever it is, the people around you are going to be exercises for you, along with the rest of everything else, the television, the news, and all the other things, and be exercised so that you're learning to trust God and walk in the valley of the shadow of death because God is with you. That's what you're going to do. And God's going to change your life in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that little bit, 1 Peter, picking up over to chapter 4. 1 Peter, back over. And by the way, before I do that quickly, 1 Peter chapter 1, keep in mind, remember you're new. So that's why it says it. Because the average person that's a believer, they don't appreciate or understand enough. Verse 15, but as he, 1 and 15, 1 Peter, but he, as he which hath called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, manner of behavior. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So got to be like him. That's right. God, we're looking for that. And, be holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. And you're fearing God, looking to God, understanding. Work out your, think of Philippians 2:12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So God, it's an awesome thing. It isn't a picnic. It isn't meant to be. It's meant to be a testimony for people to see. To see. And God holds them accountable. God holds them. Say that no one can ever say to God, God, I didn't know, because you know all Romans 1 and all those things. Now, so God, in the light of that, chapter 4. Now, what are you going to tell these believers? Peter, the trying of your faith, and they were in trouble. The world was busy, busy, busy. We're going to pick it up in a bit here. Maybe not at this moment, but Nero's busy. Nero's busy there in 64 AD, burning down Rome. He burns 10 of the 14 districts in Rome. In order, the whole central part of Rome is gutted. And he did it. He did it. Why? Because he wanted to build a new palace, and he wanted the palace there. And then he turned around and blamed the Christians. But in the last 9 years of his reign, he was one awful guy, because he would kill whoever got in his way. Anyone that he didn't like, we're all gone. Wow, he was one bad guy. One bad guy. And he ended up, if you want to know that, you know, he committed suicide because two of his generals got so upset with him up in the north, legions came down, and Nero ran outside the city of Rome to his little villa and committed suicide. That's what he did. He didn't want to face them. Now, having said that, over 1 Peter chapter 4, and picking up, please, in verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange, concerning the fiery trial. Not just a trial, a fiery trial. A fiery trial. Trying our heart. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try and put you on test, put you to the proof, like in Corinthians, etc., as though some strange thing happened to you. Don't get upset. Oh boy, what about my life? Don't do that. Don't do that. And then you go down through the wonderful section of it, and I'll read verse 13. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. And you go all the way down. You don't want to suffer as a murderer, etc., thief. As a Christian, you want to do that. Sliding down, if I can, to verse 17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, believers, what shall be the end be of them that obey not the gospel? If the believers are hardly saved, verse 18, and if the righteous scarcely, hardly be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? So if the believers are just going to get saved by the skin of their teeth, what on earth are the rest of the people? Wow. That's interesting. And now, boom, God, you're going to put it in focus. I am. God, you aren't going to leave us in the dark. Nope. Verse 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God, which is what you... It is Philippians 2, 13. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Verse 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. So God, what do? We go to work, we go to school, we go to home, we eat and drink and do everything we can as best we can, and we do it. Trusting God. Trusting God. You're brand new. You're brand new. You have to be saved. You're brand new. And you have to learn to understand that. God doesn't care about the old. You practice being new. And now when you practice being new, God's going to keep taking your little life and mine and work it through in all kinds of ways, in all kinds of whatever, in order to produce gold, to produce your life, to be able to reflect his life in a most wonderful way. And God's going to do that. So don't be alarmed by the fiery trials and the rest of things. What you want to do is roll up your sleeves and say it to yourself even. Isn't it awesome that you and each of us can truly save or saved? Do you know what an awesome thing that is? To be able to say that you are truly saved. Not hopefully saved, truly saved. Absent from the body, present with the Lord, no question. That's awesome. And if you practice that, you'll be less trying to frustrate it with everybody else. Just be so glad that you're saved. Be so glad God is an ever-present help. Be so glad that God is not using, is in your heart, and is going to do wonderful things if you just let him. To be God in your heart, with all your might and with all your doing. Therefore, closing over to 1 Thessalonians. And in 1 Thessalonians, picking up, please, in thought, of all the wonderful things in the will of God, you know, people say, well, I don't know what the will of God is for my life. Well, let me just run by you very quickly a little bit. 1 Thessalonians 5, picking up in verse 16. All of these are commands in the present tense. It means they keep on ongoing. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice. What? Think of James. Count it all joy when you fall into all kinds of things. Rejoice. But. No, you don't have to rejoice. Rejoice. Say, why? Because I'm looking to God. And pray without ceasing. Don't stop. You still keep breathing, keep breathing, keep breathing, because you want to stay alive. Keep believing, keep believing, keep believing, because you want to enjoy God's wonderful grace. So you have to believe. You have to be a believer. And three, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So we're going to give thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And we've said that for 5,000 times. What? You're going to say thank you for all the things God is doing right now to each of us. If we're saved, in us, if we aren't saved, about us, God is doing, not doing, undoing, keeping, working, doing for his will so that you and I can come forth. God's will for your life, that's what God's doing. Wow. So what are we doing? We're thankful. We're thankful that God is in the heart. God is there. When is God not there? Never. Is it always God going to be God? Uh-huh. So God, I'm going to be thankful. Thankful that you're right there in the middle of everything, every moment, every second of my life. You're right there. And verse 19. Quench not the Spirit of God. The word quench, present tense, the command. Don't extinguish the fire. Whose fire? The Spirit of God's fire. God said, I want to consume you. You look at my word and believe it, and I'm going to make that happen in your life. I'm going to take and take your little life of the fire, God's holy fire. God's going to go and outwork. Don't quench the fire. Don't throw extinguisher on it. The fire, keep the fire burning. Keep the fire burning that God can do his wonderful things that God. So all the bad things, no, it has to go through the fire. It has to go through God. And God's going to do what he does in the most awesome way. And that's what good. So I don't want to quench the fire. I don't want to stop God from doing what he does in a most awesome way. God be God to us little lives in these vessels of clay. Think of Corinthians. That the power may be of whom? Why vessels of clay? That the power may be of God and not of us. And that's what we're doing. We're learning that. It's a hard lesson because we're so stubborn. Not you people especially, but people. The slow, stubborn, think about it. No, we have to keep banging away at it, and God eventually it sinks in. I hope it helps. Now, God's going to take your now and transform and outwork by trial, test, trouble, whatever it is, to change and make your life gold, make your life like his, to be conformed to the image. We're changed from one image to another. And that's why we're here, that's why we listen, that's why we're struggling, working through things, and that's what it means to be saved. It isn't to fulfill an obligation as good Protestants and go to church once a week or more than Christmas and Easter. Wow. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and deal with our heads and our hearts and our homes, our health, our wealth. God, with persons, places, problems, all kinds of needs in all kinds of ways. We think of Mr. McNaughton God, and deal with his heart and body in these days. We think of all the rest and the needs of the people. And God, we don't even understand. But we want to be counted as a remnant running the race until we can't run. And God, help us to do so. Thank you very, very much for loving us. Thank you, Spirit of God, for your patience as you exalt and honor the work of our Lord Jesus Christ in our heart and head. Even so, God, even so come. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.